edition of Ramon and Will, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. And we're on to Indianapolis, right here on 104.5 The Zone. The best producer in the world, gracing us with his presence once again.
The best producer in the world!
Jonathan Schaefer.
He's back!
Back, ladies and gentlemen. Ramon Foster, Will Bowling with you. Welcome back. How are you?
Bask in my glory! He had to come into America. Flower girls were well, dropping rose petals in front of walking in the building this morning.
Well, at least there wasn't the one girl going, arf, arf, arf.
There was a parade this morning. The sound of trumpets filled the Nashville morning air.
Was it Timmy?
As John, oh, it was not.
It wasn't it was Timmy.
Oh, there it is. I haven't heard this song since you were out. The energy we got for 4 hours today, yeah. Right there, ladies and gentlemen.
That's when your homie's back, man.
Absolutely.
We are the three best friends that anyone ever had. We're the three best friends that anyone ever had.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah, good to have Schaefer back.
Good to have him back.
We appreciate Robert Walsh and his contributions. Yeah. Oh, Robert did a good job.
Rob was good.
I had so many people this week be like, hey, I kind of like Robert.
Well, because he's gone.
Like, Robert's all right.
He's gone to the school of Schaefer, though. Like, you can tell there was a bunch of school, like Schaefer items in there, man. And I was, that's Schaefer's guy.
And he woke up and was here on time.
We'll never.
We shared that traumatic experience together, and it's always going to be brought up anytime anyone ever fills in with us.
Never not let that go, right?
So.
Ever let that go. Hey, Will, listen to me.
What's that?
Ever let that go.
Ever.
I'm talking. One more time.
Well, we're not ever letting that go.
It's
not going to happen.
Go. Don't ever sign up for our show and not show up, man.
If we were actually that mad, we just would awkwardly not talk about it.
We talked behind his back.
Oh, well, okay. I guess we did that too.
And on air.
Speak for yourself.
And in front
of him. Speak for yourself.
Let it be known, Will.
Oh, goodness.
You mess with the bull. Guess what happens? You get a horns down.
Love that.
That was petty right there.
Love that.
Well, matter of fact, though, Texas Tech this weekend, speaking of petty college football,
yeah.
I mean, it derailed you as you got to go through your quick update.
That's
but
fine.
Texas Tech beat them this weekend.
They did. That was a game that almost made my Friday five. And then I had that, and I had Kansas State, Oklahoma on there. Then I switched them for bad SEC games.
But then Texas Tech beat Texas. How, Will?
They've had some success there in Lubbock against Longhorns.
I know, but
past three, four tries.
There's a picture floating around of this dude. They stormed the field, of course, right? And this random fan is in front of the cheerleaders, the male and female cheerleaders with the mascot Bevo with a horns down in front of them. And I was just like, they are just going to do this to the day that they leave the Big Ten, man. I can't. What is it? Big 12.
Yes.
They're going to continue to horns down them as much as they possibly can.
As they should.
It's a penalty now.
Well, they'll be getting it in the SEC, so might as well.
Oh, yes.
615-737-1045 is the number. It is a scout meeting Wednesday, meaning we are on to Indianapolis. Ladies and gentlemen, we take a look at the Indianapolis Colts over the course of the show today. Talk with David Ubben of The Athletic.
Yeah, we do.
Coming up at 8:20 over the SEC and college football headlines. And Rhett Bryant in hour number four this morning. I'm going to try my best to also hold back my excitement about the Atlanta Braves also being tied for first in the NL East. I guess Jonathan Schaefer's back, so we can't just talk about baseball and soccer the entire show. And I don't give like a night one recap of Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, you weren't doing that while I was gone.
I know I wasn't.
You just wanted to see.
I had a plan today, but you know. I actually didn't watch The Bachelor last night.
You
so
did?
if you came here for that analysis, I regret to inform you that that will not be happening.
Well, you said also you caught up on House of Dragons, which I've yet to watch.
I'm totally caught up on it.
Yet to watch it.
I don't remember the last time I thought a show was going to be bad and then it pleasantly surprised me and it's been good. This has been that for me. I didn't think I would enjoy it, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
What made you think you weren't going to enjoy it?
Just how badly they ruined the goodwill with the audience with how they ended Game of Thrones. Like, I thought I just wouldn't care because they already broke my heart once, but then I remembered I'm a Tennessee football fan, so nothing can really hurt me. Nothing can really actually like hurt me. I just keep coming back.
I just keep coming back. I hate you, UT fans, sometimes, okay? And I'm one of them. I'm one of them.
Oh, for sure. God. Self-awareness is the first step in admitting
we can have
you
nice
and
things.
We have a problem.
Self-awareness is the best thing you can have, though.
Yeah, that's right. It's a dying art in this world.
Yeah, it is. It is a dying art because everybody's on social media acting like they got it all. I'd be like,
acting like they're him.
Aren't you sleeping on somebody's futon? Mm. That's neither here nor there.
Though. Okay,
it's all good.
I pissed down my leg.
That's right. More like I need to get a job.
I miss hearing all these things too. By the way, those videos are getting better.
Which one?
The Coach 30 videos.
Been, what do you mean getting better?
I'm just saying.
What
like,
do you mean do you getting mean? Better?
They are batting.
What do you mean, you people?
They're batting people. 1,000 on making me. Oh, making me laugh.
He's been batting 1,000.
I know. I guess I just didn't really watch those very much, and I've started watching every single one of them now, and it's like appointment Twitter view.
Don't make
not
me
really an athlete.
Exactly.
Oh, so great.
Don't make me DM Coach 30, man.
It's like the
one on you.
It's like the Old Testament, like biblical, like got him turning his head, like Lot's wife, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, wow.
He's good.
It's fantastic.
He's good, man. I can't front. I enjoy them too, though. Will Coach 30.
Schaefer, did you miss us?
Not as much as you missed me.
Okay. All right.
Because I know Ramon missed me.
You know I did.
I know he did.
You know I did. I wanted to call my guy and be like, Shay, if you want to go on the wall.
Just ambush him, put him on the air?
Yeah, man.
Oh, your boy wouldn't have taken that call.
You wouldn't have seen what I'm saying?
It was rough for a few days. Let me put it that way.
Man.
They don't remember much of last week.
They were worried about you, man. It's like we had to just keep telling. Shafe's on IR, okay?
I got every time I mentioned Robert, it was like, who's filling in? Jonathan Schaefer this morning.
Much like Malcolm Butler, I was on IR.
You on
IR. We should have had people ask Buck when Schaefer was going to be back. That's a missed opportunity for us.
We did. I think you brought it up. No, we brought up somebody being on IR. And it was like, well, we got to send him over to Buck then.
Yeah.
But we never thought about Shay.
I think we were just maybe talking about Monty Rice, maybe. I don't know. It was somebody who was on IR. Just yeah. Like, yeah, I just
Elijah.
You know, and if you want to know when that guy might come on off IR, the Buck Rising Show airs from 10 to 1 every single morning right here at 104.
I know who it was. It was when LaJuan went to IR.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Like, now we can really ask him.
Which credit to Buck. He had the report right. And. Yeah. It ended up being exactly what happened.
Folks tried to get at his neck, though.
Mad they were.
They were at
all the Titans fan sites were just ready to go.
Getting after his neck is recrecreational.
Let's be real.
Yeah, from 6 to 10 every morning on 104.5.
It was some media people that were really on him, too. It was like, I was like, ooh. But he came through. He was born in it.
He merely adopted the darkness. I was born in it.
I do his change just to get him to say it. I love when he does that, man. He was merely...
At some point, I need to have a talk show with Charles Davis and Bane.
You
I don't know what it would
back.
Be called.
I can get you connected with Bane, though.
Okay.
I can. Can't we, really?
Oh, yeah, because you were there when the field split in half?
One of the team owners, investors, I think
really?
Is what you got to call him.
Yeah. Thomas Tall.
Thomas Tall.
Is he a tall guy?
T-O-L-L. T-U-L-L.
It's a demerit on me. 615-737-1045. The number this morning if you want to jump in. We go to John in the Borough.
What's up, John?
Start off the morning. Hello, John.
Did you have your coffee?
Good morning, everybody. Again, Shafe, welcome back, because holy crap, we need you to conduct this train wreck.
Of course.
So yesterday I called in and I had to admit that I had to eat some crow about Josh Heupel and Tennessee and exceeding my expectations. Well, then yesterday the news dropped about Memphis, and y'all know I'm a big Memphis fan. Mm-hmm. And Penny getting out of trouble, the IARP finding that Penny actually didn't do anything wrong, that the university did not properly advise him. Penny was cleared of all the charges, and that the IARP basically said all of the charges that the NCAA levied against Memphis were trumped up, that they were not what the NCAA was trying to levy against them. So here is my question. Is that more because that's basically what the facts are? Which, I mean, anybody who knows the whole story about James Wiseman, we all know the facts. We all know what Penny means to the city of Memphis, and we all know what he's done for the city of Memphis before he was the coach and before he was coaching AAU. Here's my question. Does it basically just mean that, hey, you fight the NCAA. You just kind of dig your heels in against the NCAA, say you're not going to do anything. And do Tennessee fans and does the University of Tennessee need to learn something from that since y'all are handing out money in McDonald's bags?
Were.
Thank you, John.
Allegedly.
First of all, there's still 0% truth to the fact that that ever happened.
Exactly.
It's been proven. The McDonald's thing was a complete farce.
The fact that we helped perpetuate that did not make it any more
true.
The McDonald's thing is like 100% confirmed that did not happen.
Exactly.
Secondly, the Memphis thing is basically they were originally found guilty of 4 level 1 violations and at least 2 level 2 violations, and the IARP comes back and says you're only guilty of 4 level 2 violations and 5 level 3 violations. There were no level 1s. I still think it was stupid the way Memphis handled this. I just think the IARP and the NCAA didn't have their facts straight.
And as far as Penny and Wiseman go, it was basically saying Penny didn't know what he didn't know. It's not one of those like legal systems like, what is it, to act like you didn't know doesn't mean you're not guilty. No, in this one, they're excusing Penny because he was giving wrong information the way it's kind of written up in this situation. And you got to look at it. As you said, guy coming from AAU ball, from high school ball to going into college, the whole compliance thing, he probably wasn't too privy of as far as him directly knowing what he couldn't do. It almost seemed like they did stronghold the NCAA when they put Wiseman out there. Remember, it's just like, oh, we going to do it anyway. Well, clearly somebody told Penny, go until they tell you stop. And that's essentially what happened. They got to vacate those wins in which he was on the court simply because he was ineligible, right? Or it was proven that he did receive some type of benefits.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, exactly, John.
It was just before Penny. It was before Penny was officially considered a booster was what happened.
Yeah. But they on the technicality, they got away. I mean, it's essentially what it was. And to say just push back at the NCAA, I don't know if you want to play that game. I think you just got to be up front with the NCAA.
The way you push back is by hiring a good lawyer. That's how you push
back. It's this simple. The cover-up is always worse than the crime.
Yeah.
Look at Bruce Pearl. It's the reason why Bruce Pearl's in Auburn and not at Tennessee. Because of the cover-up. 615-737-1045, the number this morning if you want to jump in. When we come back, Ramon Foster's scout meeting notes for you about the Indianapolis Colts, how their offensive line matches up against the Titans' defensive front. The rookie wide receivers and tight ends who have had big impacts for Indianapolis early on in the season. Plus, the Titans headlines this morning adding a couple of guys to the back end of their roster. We'll tell you about that as we got David Ubbin at 8:20, Rhett Bryan at 9. Going to be a fun show. Don't blink, you just might miss it. It's Ramona Will, powered by All Four Seasons on 104.5 The Zone.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus. Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
Scout Meeting Wednesday edition of Ramon and Will, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. Talking Titans and Colts right here on 104.5 The Zone. Titans Radio, 11 a.m. for Titans Countdown, 9 o'clock. The coverage begins. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in. Will Bolling, Ramon Foster, Jonathan Schaefer back with you this morning. So the Colts, Ramon Foster, have had some good. They have had some very, very bad. The only team in the NFL 1-1-1. Something's got to give on Sunday in Lucas Oil Stadium, quite literally.
Man, it's bad. Like you said, their stuff is just, they're supposed to be good. And they're not right now, man. They went out and got Matt Ryan. And I'll be honest, Ron Slay said it from the get-go. Matt Ryan ain't who you think he is. And I was just like, okay, Ron, we'll see. And it's proven that he's not right now, man. As I went through my scout meeting Wednesday yesterday to kind of break them down, man, of course, this is a Matt Ryan team right now. They are 32nd out of 32 teams as far as point score for this season. They are the worst scoring NFL team thus far, man. If my if my studying is correct, if my research is correct, they've only scored 40 points on the year. Okay, now, and they're averaging 13.3 points per game. They've had issues also with their kickers. They cut our guy Young Blanco, man. I wonder if he's still...
Really hate that for him. Really hate that for him. Rodrigo Blankenship is like the active leading scorer against Will Bowling's football teams between Georgia and the Colts scoring against the Titans. Continue.
Yeah. But they started off the offseason with what? If this was correct, their owner, Ursay Sam, man, beat that damn team down south. You remember that conversation he had? Mm-hmm. That was their goal. They went out and got another veteran quarterback. It seemed like they've been the organization, them and Denver, right, has been the organization as of late to go get those guys to kind of springboard their organization into winning. And Matt Ryan hasn't been that guy. Like I said, beat the team down south, meaning the Titans. They treated y'all like they were Michigan and you guys were Ohio State or something.
Mm.
Well, if you look at that series, then it looked like Ohio State's beat the team up north, then they actually beat the team down south. Either way, here we go. They are 1-1-1. I don't know if I've ever seen that, Will. You just said that.
I don't think I have either.
1-1-1, man. One win, one loss, and one tie. They with the division loss to the Jags, if I'm not – yep, they still can't get over that, man. And a tie with Houston. They're really behind the eight ball if we're talking about AFC South play. Like, that tie is probably going to bite them in the butt bad. Same way that it did us when we tied with the Browns years back.
Man, it's going to make the end of season playoff scenarios and AFC South clinching scenarios so weird.
It is going to make it super weird, man, because if they get hot, which they're capable of,
yeah,
they are 35% on third down, and they're 1 of 6 on fourth down conversions this year also offensively. They are just a poorly run team right now offensively. I would contribute to they don't have playmakers. They have a couple. I mean, you look at them and you look at the Titans. I mean, it's almost a similar situation, like young guys trying to be number one wide receiver. Michael Pittman Jr. is close to being that guy. You got to respect him. Same way you look at like Treylon Burks, right? Same situation. They can't get it together, and they have the running back, man. They are 40% in red zone scoring as opposed to the teams playing them, and this might be the X factor in what they're dealing with right now. Their defense is giving up 71.4% in red zone scoring, whether field goal or whether points. They're giving it up when you get to the red zone. You got to capitalize on this, man. And this doesn't help also. Matt Ryan has been sacked 12 times, four times a game, basically, if you're good at math,
yep.
Man. He is
I'm not, so thank you.
He's number three as far as he's third on the list as far as sacks given up with Joe Burrow in front of him. And who's the other quarterback that was?
Carson Wentz.
Carson. Wow. Well, would you look at that? Carson Wentz also. Huh. I bet a bunch of those sacks. That a bunch of those sacks are him just simply running out of bounds. Freaking bum.
The other thing is, too, that the Colts have the NFL's highest paid offensive line. This is a unit that's supposed to be better. They're not. Mm-hmm. Third worst mark in the NFL, like we mentioned, Carson Wentz and Joe Burrow. And Jonathan Taylor is only averaging 4.7 yards per carry.
Yeah.
Which for the king of rushing in the NFL, as many wanted him to be last season, who are national people to talk about this sport, he has not taken over games and been that guy to overcome the lack of talent on his offensive line.
Right. And with that being said, Matt Ryan, man, he's 64.1% passing completions. He's got 3 touchdowns and 4 interceptions on the season. Not a whole lot to really say about Matt Ryan other than the fact that he went to a Super Bowl. Like, it really ain't much. And to your point a second ago, Jonathan Taylor, man, he's the running back that everybody compared to Derrick Henry. He had over 1,800 yards last year. I think 1,811 yards last year. But he's averaging 4.7 yards per rush. He's being effective. They just can't be in games to actually let him do work, man. Longest run this season was 21 yards. I think he had a big breakaway last year. So the speed is there. I'm not going to downplay him like he's not good. He actually is. Again, averaging 95.3 yards per game, and he's 1 touchdown. Not as active this year in the passing game as he was last year. Again, a lot of people said he's RB number one in the league, best back in the league last year because of why? 1,800 yards on the ground. He had a crap ton last year through the air, too. He was a all-around back. This year, not so much. With the highest paid OL in the NFL right now, they're not really making it happen. The guy last year that ended up being an issue for the Titans was actually Nyheim Hines. Last year, he did pretty good against the Titans. He's their scat back. He's been a guy that's played well against the Titans, too, but very athletic. Got to watch him. Got to watch him leaking out of the backfield, making plays and whatnot, man. Other side of it is not much at the wide receiver position. I brought up Michael Pittman Jr. earlier. Right now, they can't seem to throw him the ball. He's got 22 targets for 17 catches, 193 yards, and one touchdown.
And he missed the game against Jacksonville with injury. Comes back last week against Kansas City.
Yep. Paris Campbell, another guy on the team. Nothing special here, man. 5 receptions, 47 yards, no touchdowns. Just bad offense. I think they only got 3 passing touchdowns on the season, if I read that right. And the other 2 touchdowns actually go to their tight end rookie, Jelani Woods, man. 2 touchdowns on the season, but he's only got 13 receiving yards.
Now, he's the guy that's interesting to me. Because he comes off of a game where he has a really big touchdown against Kansas City, and then he gets a second one.
Yeah.
He's 6'7".
Yeah.
He is an athletic freak. This is a guy out of Virginia that, talking to Rhett Bryan, who we'll talk with later on in the show, Coach Dave McGinnis, everybody really liked him in the draft process.
Yeah.
I remember going through those guys, those tight ends, and it was Daniel Bellinger from San Diego State, who ends up going to the Giants. The other guys at that position were, obviously Jelani Woods and Chig Okonkwo. Those were really the guys. Greg Dulcich was kind of the other one, but Jelani Woods and Chig Okonkwo were kind of the two that you penciled in and said, these are athletic freaks that the Titans like at this position.
Yeah. He's pretty good, man. Third round draft pick this year. So it's not like that's a throwaway pick. I'll say this. You go get Joe Schobert for a reason this week. One thing about Joe Schobert, I've played against him. He was on the Steelers, I think, the COVID year also. He's good in coverage.
And that is the addition, one of the two additions the Titans made yesterday, adding inside linebacker Joe Schobert to their practice squad. Fourth round pick in 2016, 93 NFL games, 6 seasons with Cleveland, Jacksonville, and Pittsburgh, like you mentioned. 2017 Pro Bowler with the Browns.
When he
coverage linebacker.
Coverage linebacker. Not a big-time thumper, man. He's an athletic type. I remember playing him in Cleveland. He's side-to-side quick, not as physical as you want him to be. But in coverage this week against a guy like Jelani Woods, man, it's good to have him on the field. And also, we don't know what Zach Cunningham's status is.
And that's the thing. Yeah. It's insurance for Zach Cunningham because Monty Rice is still a week away from being eligible to come off of IR. After week 4 this Sunday against Indy. And you need bodies at inside linebacker.
You do.
I think Dylan Cole did a job for you off the bench, but Dylan Cole can't be your only option in a pinch like that. Dylan Cole is a good special teams player who is not an inside linebacker that's going to flash and make a ton of impact plays for you at that position.
It's okay to say, Will, like, until he proves it, he's not a position player. He's a teams player.
He's a special teams
guy. He's good enough. But over the long term, you want to see some strides been made for him. And as of right now, you're about to play division games, dog.
So a couple of things I just want to jump in before we go to the defense.
Oh, no, I was just going to finish this up, too.
Yeah,
also,
for sure.
O-line has names. You know who they are.
Right.
They are dudes,
That's
man.
Where I was going
to
go
But they
next.
Hadn't been living up to anything that you expect them to be. 12 sacks on the season. Quinn Nelson, I got to give it to him. He is that guy. Last year was a little shaky for him, though.
Sure.
I will say that this year, similar. But Quinn is that guy, highest paid guard ever, 80 M's, that's million, 60 guaranteed, okay? You don't get that if you're not that dude. If he continues on, he'll be damn near first ballot Hall of Famer. I respect the hell out of his play. He's got to pick it up real soon. I will say this, Jeff probably going to go at him. Jeff and him probably going to have a little bit of a shoving match.
Always.
I really want to see it, man. And again, to your point, highest paid OL. Well, go ahead.
The right guard, Danny Pinter.
Yeah.
Is another guy who, in the interior of that Indianapolis offensive line, you think about the strength of Ryan Kelly and Quentin Nelson on the left side. Danny Pinter has not been to that level on the right side. His pass blocking grade from Pro Football Focus this year, Moan, is 36.4.
Yes.
Overall, a 50.5. He's a very average to below average in run blocking, but he is very below average and pass blocking this season. And then the tackles. Every single year, Indy's got new tackles.
Yeah.
Eric Fisher is gone at this point. It's Matt Pryor on the left side, 2018 sixth-round pick out of TCU. 6'7", 332 pounds, a big guy. And then you still got Braden Smith on the right side from Auburn, the second-round pick out of 2018. who's played a lot of football in an Indianapolis uniform. But that left tackle position, Ramon, has been interesting because Indy has banked on the fact that they can put just a guy next to Quentin Nelson and that they're going to be okay. It's not been the case against teams like the Titans that keep Quentin Nelson occupied in the middle of the offensive line and have that interior rush where Nelson doesn't have the ability to help out a lot on the outside.
Right. Yeah, no, and that takes time. I hate when teams feel like they can do that crap, man, because I've been in a situation before, and it's a real hard learning curve, Will, and sometimes you suffer for it. If you don't bring that guy back the next year and they've been suffering from that, man, that could affect them. If there's anywhere to make hay, it's right there, man. I'd expect to see Rashad Weaver, or if Bud is back this week, to kind of feast off of that them not being on the same page. And I had somebody a second ago in the chat, Sally, asked, how many fumbles does Matt Ryan have? And yeah. I looked it up. He's had 7 fumbles.
Yeah,
only gotten 2 back. So he's -5 on the season.
And he's a guy that specifically needs good cushion and good offensive line play up front. You say, well, yeah, Will, everybody does. But specifically him, and I've heard Greg Cosell say this on the install on the 104.5 The Zone podcast network with Buck, that Matt Ryan is a long strider. He's a bigger, lankier quarterback, and he's got longer strides when he steps and puts his foot in the ground and makes throws, to the point where he has to have that just a little bit of additional room in order to just have the space to stride out at his normal stride length and make a throw down the field. Alec Pierce is a guy that's interesting to me. The rookie out of Boston College has a concussion, misses the game against Jacksonville, comes back, looks a lot better within this offense against Kansas City over the weekend. Michael Pittman Jr. is really good.
Yeah, he is.
You have different kinds of wide receivers you have to cover in this game. You got the 6'7" tight end, Jelani Woods. And then you have the smaller, shiftier Alec Pierce. And then Michael Pittman's just big and physical.
Yeah.
And Michael Pittman had some success against this Titans defense a year ago. That, to me, is an interesting matchup, because the Titans over the past couple of weeks have had clear number one targets they have to eliminate in the passing game. Michael Pittman is that clear number one. There's not really a clear second option at this point for Matt Ryan.
No,
Ashton Doolin was their main guy in Jacksonville because everybody was banged up in that game.
I don't understand how Ursa can be so brash about beating the team down south, and then you don't go spend money on guys. You don't go get guys. Like,
well, they did on Yannick Ngakoue and Stephon Gilmore, but they have not on offense for weapons to go along with Jonathan Taylor.
No, they have not at all. Right. If they thought you could repeat that, like Jonathan Taylor, I thought his first year he came out awesome. The second year, you surprised people. Oh, you are that guy. And now you think people are going to allow you to do this again? And then when the first 2 of your 3 games are division games, those are hard, man. Like, you got to realize, you got to stack around. Teams think they can just roll people out. That's not the freaking case. It's not. You suffer from that. Now look at them 1-1-1. What the hell is that? That's a hard, I'm telling you, that tie is going to bite them in the butt if they happen to split games with the Titans, which we shouldn't even be bringing it up right now, because I don't even know if they're capable of doing that.
It is just going to make our lives so much more complicated by the end of the season, because obviously that's what matters. But, you know, it is going to make all the clinching scenarios just so strange.
Yeah.
That's okay.
And defensively, real quick, man, the defense. Oh,
let's do it after the break.
We'll take a break real quick.
Let's talk about the defense after the break.
Ball, Will.
And dive into what Indianapolis has been able to do on the defensive side of the ball. And one quirk from Gus Bradley's defense on Sunday against Kansas City. One thing he didn't do a lot of that teams typically do quite a bit against Kansas City, calling plays on the defensive side of the ball. We do that next. A scout meeting Wednesday rolls on. It's Ramona Will, powered by All Four Seasons on 104.5 The Zone. Part 1 of Titans and Colts this weekend in Indianapolis. There was one quirk from Indy's defense Sunday that was interesting in their win over the Kansas City Chiefs that we want to add to scout meeting Wednesday. I'm Ramona Will, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors here on 104.5 The Zone. Will Bowling, Ramon Foster, Jonathan Schaefer with you. So, Ramon, Gus Bradley on Sunday against Indy only called for 2 blitzes on Patrick Mahomes' 46 dropbacks. Thought this was interesting. The Colts limited 2.5 yards per carry for Kansas City. the sixth time that Kansas City was held under 20 points since Patrick Mahomes took over as quarterback in 2018. This defensive front, Yannick Ngakoue, Kwity Paye, you've got a lot of talent here. You've got Grover Stewart, who again is kind of the anchor of that interior defensive line, along with all the other pieces that they have, kind of one of the newer names Titans fans maybe haven't heard of quite as much. But in doing so and kind of pinning their ears back against the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes' average time to throw was 3.12 seconds, which was the third highest among quarterbacks in week three. Pressured on 15 dropbacks, wasn't able to really extend plays off schedule and make that big throw down the field. They kept him corralled in the pocket, and that defensive line, with the help of bad kicking and special teams from Kansas City, really helped win them that game.
No, no doubt about it. I think we brought this up last week, Will, as far as blitzing quarterbacks and stuff. Like, when you send a blitz at somebody, like, this is the thing, you expose yourself a little bit. Like, I was looking at, who was it this past week? It may have been the Giants. When I'm watching them play, like whenever they blitz Danny Dimes, like he didn't know where to go with it. And his tight ends were dumbfounded by not getting out. Like when you see that outside edge, probably that safety or that corner or that linebacker dig at towards the line of scrimmage, you're supposed to release your hot, You hear coaches speak about this all the time.
Right.
That's what Patrick Mahomes does. He's elusive enough to where he can get around you and create plays. That's where him and Kelsey flourish at, man. Blitzing, we used to love. It's a headache to deal with as far as protection goes, but there's a level of exposure that defenses put on themselves. When you play bland, sometimes those types of quarterbacks like Patrick, like Josh Allen, Ben, we had teams, that's what the Patriots really did to us. They didn't really blitz us. They made Ben hold the ball, and eventually you ended up either getting a sack or having a bad play.
Sure.
So that's good on Indy for recognizing that when it comes down to Patrick. It's probably as dumb that other teams don't.
But DeForest Buckner is the star of that defense.
He is the one that knocks. But the defense right now, 15th in the league, I don't think they're really the reason why they're losing. They've given up 20.3 points a game. Gus Bradley is their DC. He is who he is. You know he's had a repertoire in this league for a while. Kind of wild. 4 sacks on the season for this defense. Only 1 interception. Another guy that needs to be brought up too is Zaire Franklin. He's their leading tackler right now.
Yep.
Very solid guy, man. He plays that role well right next to Shaquille Leonard.
And who has not been there?
Yeah, he hasn't, but I think this is the week he's supposed to be out. He was a full participant yesterday, I think, in practice. If I'm not mistaken, the reports were right.
And he was all last week, too.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't you expect this is the game, probably, potentially?
So coming off a back injury, off-season back surgery, corrected an impinged nerve that caused issues with his calf and ankle over the better part of last year. You know, Frank Reich, the Indianapolis Colts, saying that the surgery has left him pain-free for the first time in a while.
Wow.
But they want to get his conditioning and game shape completely up to speed before they throw him back in there.
Okay, well, solid. I'd almost think, I'd prepare like he'd be back.
I would too. Full participant all last week and then didn't play, which surprised many. I think you would expect then that's the plan. Frank Reich is circling week four against the Titans saying, look, we're not going to put the guy on IR.
Yep.
We're going to get him back week four and start him off in a divisional
game. And we live there. But they do have some players on their defense, though. They went and got Stephon Gilmore this all season. He's got 2 pass deflections on the season, man. And again, this is the thing about him. He's a short guy. If you catch the ball on him, he's probably going to tackle. He's 13 solo tackles on the year by himself. That's all he got. No assists. So if you're throwing his way, he's probably going to get you. This guy, Kwity Paye, is nice. 2 sacks on the season, man. He's their 2021 first-round draft pick from last year. Reminds you of the DNs that the Colts have had in the past, man. The Freeney type. Going to get it after you. Create a headache. He's a great complement to the guy on the other side. Yannick Ngakoue, man. He's a headache to play against. He going to trash talk you. If you're not mentally ready to deal with Yannick Ngakoue, you need to sit this one out. He's going to either try to frustrate you or bully you into it. But if you play your game, you're good to go.
Titans have had some good games against him, including upsetting Baltimore. As the one seed in 2019.
It was Jacksonville for a while, too, and it was really cranking out on defense, man. He deserves a lot more credit. I actually like Yannick. I'm not pro Colts on this one, but he's a good player. I respect good players, man. Grover Stewart, as you brought up, good run stopper, man. He's active in the passing game, too. Don't sleep on him is what I have. I think he ended up getting a contract this offseason.
Yep.
DeForest Buckner, he is that guy. It was one of the hardest just outfits I've had as a player, simply because he's so tall. He's got long ass arms, and when he hits you, he tries to get off really quick.
Is Jeffrey Simmons on his level?
He's just taller than Jeff, different type.
Okay.
I would almost put him in the same box as I'd almost put him in the same box as Malik Jackson.
Okay.
From our former VFL, ball, that's VFL. Right. He's in the same box as or Calais type, like those tall, long arms, shifty type of athletes. That's to me DeForest Buckner. Do not go to sleep on DeForest Buckner. I know he doesn't have the stats that you want right now, but he's got two quarterback hits and he always finishes the plays. No sacks on the season for him. Don't fall asleep on that. And just saying again what I said earlier, their defense is only giving up 35% on third down. They are getting off the field, but they are a team that's probably giving up on first and second down. And this is the thing. Teams are cashing in the red zone. 71.4% scoring in the red zone for this team, whether it be field goals or whether it be touchdowns.
Interesting. So that's a good note. Kansas City did not take advantage of that.
No.
On Sunday, because Kansas City missed a field goal. Mm. They missed an extra point in this game. And then they tried a fake punt with Townsend and it said, you know, well, if we want to complete a pass on fourth down, let's have our punter do it instead of the best quarterback in the National Football League, which seems suboptimal.
Yeah.
And that was one of the big reasons why they lost to the Indianapolis Colts over the weekend. By the way, again, the Chiefs have been 10 games under 500 against the Colts since 1995, which is wild to me. But that was kind of a desperation game for Indy over the weekend, and they won it.
Yep.
So we'll see if they can continue that desperation on Sunday against the Titans. When we come back, our preview continues. More of your phone calls at 615-737-1045 as we break down Indy and Tennessee. In an hour or two, take a look at both teams' best path to victory on Sunday in Lucas Oil Stadium. 1 hour down, three more to go. It's Ramona Will, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors at 104.5 The Zone.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.